Okay, we're picking up from the Mishnah Nylon from the top of Chuf Chuf Aleph Amud Aleph. A beautiful Gemara with a lot of ramifications of Lachal Maisa. You can cancel all of them with a Mir on the Nachri and also a Katan doing Malacha on Shabbos. These are extremely relevant halachas, come up all the time for those who have Goyim around the house. And for Katanim also is very relevant, but again, we can't talk about everything because we're just going to be based on the Gemara, but we can mention points here and there. The Mishnah starts off with, if a Goy is coming to extinguish a fire that broke out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to tell them explicitly to extinguish the fire. Because, at the end of the day, Rashi points out, we're mitzuvin al, Rabbanan Gazra al Mir Lanachri B'Shem Shavus. Where it goes there, that it's a dinder Rabbanan, and a person's not allowed to tell a goy, there's a shiloh, why, what is the Shavus? Is it Mishad that we're machmir v'tzad shlichus, that they're doing it because they're your shaliach ilu, or it's just because your person's not supposed to be doing malacha, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos, that you're talking about malacha, having them do malacha for you, that's not something that's in the spirit of Shabbos, and there would be nafkaminas for those two reasons, l'chor or machmir on both reasons. So then the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, we can also, we can't tell them also to not do it, meaning Rashi points out over here, what do you mean he can't? No, you don't need to protest the fact that he is he wants to extinguish it, that you would be allowed to you would be allowed to have him do it if he's doing it on his own. And again, just pointing out, the Mishnah Berurah tells us that he says that you're not, even in the first case, when we say al techabe, even the guy's coming for the purpose of blowing it out, you're not allowed to urge him on to do it. That's also part of the Mishnah's din derabanan. Again, the din of the Amir al-Nachri. So now, the Mishnah's telling you, why is al techabe, if he's doing it on his own right, why is that not a problem? Because it's not your responsibility to, if the goy is doing malacha, it's not your responsibility if he is doing it for himself. So, a Jew has to make sure that other Jews don't violate Shabbos. However, he's not obligated to the non-Jews rest on Shabbos. That's not his obligation. That's what Rashi tells us over here. Aval katan shabalach, however, a Jew, a kid, your 4-year-old, 5-year-old kid who wants to put out the fire, that would be a problem. Ein shomim lo. We don't listen to him. We don't tell him that he's allowed to. B'nei sheshvisa salem, because his resting is responsibility. The shaila is, the Gemara is going to discuss what that means, to what extent, but the shaila is also, where's that coming from? It might be the dindareisa of los asekal malacha ata ubincha, that your child, even if he's a small child, is on you to make sure you're resting, because that's the shaila. Why do you have to come on to a different lav? That's a Reb Chaim asked, and many achronim rishonim asked this kasha already, is that why do you have to come on a different lav? We're going to see. There's a principle of los achilum. You're not allowed to give a katan to be a daim. You're not allowed to give him an iser. We're going to see that in the Gemara. So then why does the Gemara have to assume that there's another lav? Why does the Torah rather give you another lav by the din of Shabbos? So Reb Chaim says that it's going to be even another lav to show you that it's even stricter on Shabbos. So we're going to even more machmir than regular dinners, we're going to see that it would apply even to dinim derabanan and pastures. Even dinim derabanan, we're going to make sure the katan cannot do them for you. Now the Gemara says, Amar Abami, bedleika etiru lomar kol mechabe ina mafsid. When you have a situation of a fire, we let you say this phrase. We let you say, anyone who's going to extinguish is not going to lose out, meaning, I'm going to take care of you. So you meramez, you give him a remez that you clearly want this malacha to be done. However, it's only derech remez, you're not explicitly commanding him, and this is a very big heter in general, when this applies and how this applies. Again, we can't get into all the details, but the person is never allowed to tell a goy, even if you have the heter from an achir for, let's say, a chola, for things like that, you're not really supposed to tell the goy at all, can you turn this on for me? You're not allowed to do that. Rather, you do berevez, there's no light in here. So again, I'm not getting into, light is also a problem to do a malacha for you, I'm not going to get into those details, but the point is, you're never allowed to say, can you turn on the light for me, even when you have the heter of a mir l'nachri, let's say turning off the light, which is more mikil. We'll get to that Gemara later, not this stop, but the Gemara is going to discuss that. The Gemara says, name of Messiah. So now, maybe our mission is supporting Ravami. Why? Because Ravami told us again that you could do it is in a mafsid. The Gemara says Nachri Shabal Chabos in Omer Lo Chabev Ve'Al Techabev. That if a goy is coming to extinguish a fire, they don't tell him that you extinguish it, or they tell him not to extinguish it. Mimnei She'en Shvisa Salem. Our mission told us because again, resting is not the responsibility. So the Gemara makes a diuk now. The Gemara has the following diuk. The inference Kavehu De Lo Amin and Le'ei. We don't tell him to extinguish it. Ha Kama Chabin Amasim. I mean, we don't tell him explicitly, go extinguish it for me. That's not derech remez. That's a commanding him. That is derech tzivoy. Derech tzivoy is usher by Amir Lanachri, but to do it derech remez, maybe a raya from our Mishnah is correct. The Gemara says, no, that's not necessarily a raya, because we can make a point from the Seifa to make an opposite diuk. Then what's the opposite diuk? Ima Seifa, the Mishnah, and the Seifa tells us, al techabe lo amin alei. They're not allowed to tell him, do not distinguish. And you would extend from that, Rashi points out, you would tell him, But you just like your eino tarech limchos biyado, that's only, you're not allowed to do, that's all you're not allowed to do if he's doing it on his own. However, any giloi das, even the loyafsi, even derech remez, you can make it safe from the safe of the Mishnah, you would make the diuk that would be usher. So therefore, elamal alek lamashmina. We don't have a proof, nor a disproof of Ravami, but we don't necessarily prove his point. Okay, the shayla again, when to extend Ravami, do we paskin like Ravami? Yes, in certain, we definitely accept the concept of derech remez when Amir al-Nachri is more, that's when. Amir al-Nachri is not just stam, always mutter. That is, there's ramifications. Mitzvah, things like that, when Amir al-Nachri would be mutter. The Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanu, we say in the Braisa, Maisa v'nafla tleika b'chatzir shal Yosef ben Simai b'shchin. That it happened in Shchin, it was an area, apparently in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, and fire broke out on Shabbos. Abo anshe gistra shal tzipori l'chabos. And the people of the Roman governors, officials, actually, the tzipori came to extinguish it. Nesha pitropas shal melachaya, because he was the treasurer for the king, so that he was a very chashup person. They heard about a fire, they ran, the fire department of the Romans came. V'lo enicha mekavar l'shabbos. However, he didn't allow them to do so because of Kavod Shabbos. So a miracle occurred. In fact, it was Machmir, and the rain fell and put out the fire. That night, he sent every member of the people who came to help him, the fire department, he gave them 2 salaim. And to the head of them, the head amongst those, he gave them 50 selas. And when the Chachamim heard about this, Amru lo yatzarich. So they said, no, you didn't do the right thing. That's not the halacha. The halacha is that you don't have to protest. So the Gemara says, if the Nachri is doing it on his own, we don't have to tell him that he's not doing it. Again, that's the very big thing. If the Nachri is doing something for himself, let's say it's hot, so it turns out the air conditioning by himself, and you don't tell him to do anything and he's doing it because the Nachri is there and it's hot, that would be bepashtus a heter. Again, you're not allowed to tell him anything in terms of Amira l'Nachri. And Agav, Rav Nevensal writes that Rav Nevensal says that one of the things they need to work on in Chutzarts is the halachas of Amira l'Nachri. All of us can work on those halachas because they're around more and people aren't as careful with those halachas or important halachas, but we have to be careful for it. Either way, the Gemara continues now. So that was all about Amira l'Nachri. Now the Gemara continues, Aval katan shebal chabos ein shalom neishu shvizoso aleim. When it comes to a minor who is coming to extinguish, the Mishnah tells us, you are not allowed to tell him to, you're not allowed to allow him to put out the fire. The Gemara says, Shmas Mene, Katan Ochal Nevelos, Beitin Matun Lafrisha, but wait a second. This would imply from this ruling that since we're not allowed to tell him to put out the fire, even if he's coming to put out the fire, we have to stop him. So does this imply that if a Katan's eating treif meat, that we have to Beitin as a Chiyav to stop him? We know Rashi points out that that's not the case. The Gemara Nevamos tells us that, Biadayim, there is an Isra, that's Lo Sachilim, that's what we mentioned before. Everyone agrees to that. However, in the Gemara we have over there, the Gersa we have of Rav Yitzchak Bar Disna, he told us that it would be mutter. He brought a case where he lost keys in Rishus Rabbim, and it was Shabbos, and he would want to go to the Beis Medrash, and he wasn't allowed to get them back. So what did he do? He told told another Amora, what do I do? Go to the Beis Medrash. They advised him, bring little children to that area without telling them about the lost keys. Just bring them there, and they'll play, and then they'll find the keys and they'll bring them on their own. If they find the keys and bring them on their own, you don't say anything. They're just playing, and the time they're playing, that would be mutter. So clearly, according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Disna, that story over there, this Amora held that one is not obligated to stop a child from violating Shabbos. Then how does the Gemara would understand our Mishnah, which the Gemara is asking is it's more of a kasha. How would this Amora understand that kasha, understand this Mishnah? This Mishnah seems to indicate that it would be usher even just to stop him, even if they're doing a mela, that any malacha that's done for you, anything that's done for you, you have to stop him. So the Gemara answers now, Amar B'yochanan Merilin answers kasha. He says, B'katan osel adas aviv. The Mishnah is talking about, he knows that that's what his father wanted. If the child sees that his father is standing over him and understands from the situation that he wants him to do this, the child is old enough to understand that that's what that the father wants or the mother wants, then you have to be machmir to make sure that they don't do that malacha for you. Again, there's a very big shaila about how this gets. Does it dafka the father? Is it only on the father? Is it on everyone? It could be that the nature of the pasuk may be a difference, right? If it's on Ilchus Shabbos, maybe that's only on the father because but maybe my other aviras, it wouldn't necessarily be on the Yachid. There's many nafkaminas for the Shaila and general Akatan doing Malacha. The general rule is, let's say that he's by the light just stomp playing up and down, so then Lechora, if you're allowed to move him when if he's doing it for himself, you didn't put him there or anything like that, then he is allowed to do that. But if you would put him near the lights in order that they should turn it off, that is a very big Shaila already, because at that point, even though they're playing with it, it might be that you might be that you're more direct in the involvement of the kid doing the melacha for you. Now, what's definitely not allowed to do is what I've seen many times, is that a person, not many times I've seen it, is that a person will tell his 2-year-old, you know, don't push the elevator button for me. That's mamash asr. That's not okay. That is no heter for that whatsoever. That might be an isr daraisa of los asak melacha ato bincha uvitecha. Now the Gemara continues, the kavase gabe nachris, and now the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, when it comes to a goy though, the ka'avi l'dayt yisrael mishar, but at the end of the day, the goy is doing it in the Jew's interest, and yet it is permitted to allow the goy to extinguish the fire. So why is it permitted for the goy? The Gemara says, no, the goy is always doing it for his own self-interest, because even if he's aware that the Jew is going to benefit from it, he's still, at the end of the day, he knows the Jew is going to pay him, so it's really for his own accord. That's, again, a very big, important thing for Heter Amir Lanachri, is only when the goy is doing it for his own purpose as well. Like if it's hot, or if it's whatever, the light, it's dark for the Nachri, and they turn on the light. If the goy is doing it for himself, you need the goy to do it for himself. The goy does it for you, that's already an Isser. Even Derech Remez is going to be Usser. So if they're turning on the light for you, that is very problematic. Again, there might be a circumstance of Torah Mitzvah or other things like that, but even those are problematic and very big shilas, and you'd have to ask your Rav about every situation that comes up. Now the Gemara continues. Now we're quoting the next Mishnah. Kofin Kara Lagabi Aner, that one is allowed to turn over a bowl over a lamp, in order that the flame shouldn't catch onto the beam that's on top of the lamp. Again, assuming that one isn't going to be extinguishing the flame. Extinguishing the flame, that'd be another problem, that'd be an Isser of Kibbutz. And also, Rashi points out, we're dafka talking about a Kli Cheres, because Bepashtos, Rashi points out a Kli Cheres, that he didn't say explicitly, but Bepashtos, a metal bowl, would be another problem of Avara. That's the whole issue of having the metal bowl being burning on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, Ve'altsoa shel katan, and someone's allowed to turn over the bowl, over the extra of a child, valkrav shelo tishach, and also over a scorpion, so it shouldn't sting. That's the Tana over here is allowing you to turn over the bowl, and you're going to be, the Tana is allowing you to turn over the bowl and trap the snake. Because a Shiloh, why is that okay? Isn't that a problem of trapping on Shabbos? So there's a big Shiloh about that. Is in the Melacha Sheinat Tzricha Lagufa, if it's talking about Melacha Sheinat Tzricha Lagufa, meaning it's not for a defined purpose, you don't actually want to use the snake, you're just making sure it doesn't get to you, or whatever reason you want to stop it, that would not be an Isra Dara. So that's one suggestion, and maybe another suggestion that Mishnah Berurah suggests is that this Tana is holding a trapping, this nachash, in order to keep it, is different from trapping it to use it. So this also wouldn't be this is not the malacha of trapping. You're not using it at all. So that may not be the malacha of tzad b'chlal. You're just trying to stop it. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, Ma'isa balifnei Rabbi Yochanan Zaki be'arev. It happened in the city of Arev, which is in the Galil. And what happened? And he said, Ve'amar choshani l'machatas. I'm afraid this person chayav chatas for doing the malacha of tzad. Apparently, he held that the malacha shenet tzricha l'gufa like Rabbi Yehuda. And the first version that we gave, the first answer that would explain that he was afraid maybe a person would be chayav chatas because he's holding malacha shenet tzricha like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba v'Rab Chanan bar Abba ikul lebei Rab Avin demina shakya. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, and Rab Chanan bar Abba were coming to the house of Rav Avin bar Nashkaya, Nashakya, the Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiya bar Abba. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Yirmiya Aisu turn into the next time, Porsaya. So the Rav Avin's servants were told, obviously, Pashas by Rav Avin, to bring out they used to have like the couches, right? They used to recline when they were eating. That's what we know the whole Gemara Brachos, that's how you eat, that's the derech to be eating. So he only gave them out the couches to them. So Rav Chanan bar Rava lo Aisulaya, but however, Rav Chanan bar Rava, they didn't bring him a couch, and he had to sit on the ground, apparently, Rashi says. And apparently, Rav Avin didn't consider Rav Chanan bar Rava to be the same chashivas of the other one, so therefore he didn't give them the couch. Ashkechai Mastin Leir Lebrei. So he saw that Rav Chanan bar Rava was seeing Rav Avin teaching the Mishnah to his son, and he said on the Mishnah, on this Mishnah, Valtzoa Shokatan Mekatan, someone's allowed to turn over the bowl of the number two of a child because of the child, so the child shouldn't, Rashi points out, shouldn't become, he shouldn't start touching it and become dirty, and that's why it's Usra in the Mishnah. So Amar Lei, Rav Chanan bar Rava, who was sitting on the ground, he was upset by this whole situation, as it was, that he was insulted by his kavod. Avin Shatai Lemasne Shutusel Abnei. Avin, the fool, is teaching his son a foolish Mishnah. It's foolish to teach the Mishnah like that. Apparently, Rashi again has said that he was angered by the fact that the lack of kavod, they didn't give him a seat. So therefore, he spoke a little bit. He was trying to rush that he was lahakniso. He was kind of trying to argue with him in that most respectful way because he was upset about the situation. So the number two of a child that you're talking about is not considered mukta. Meaning, usually mukta is things that we make you turn over is only a circumstance of something you're not allowed to move on Shabbos because there's no use for it over here. Here, there is mukta because dogs apparently would eat a child's number two. That's something that they would eat, and therefore it's considered not mukta because it's considered prepared for the child. And the Gemara says maybe you could tie that it's mukta on another account. Maybe you can assume that it's an Isra of Nolad because it wasn't around yesterday. Nolad is something that's only come only comes today, right? Something falls off the tree that wasn't there before. It was attached to the tree before. Now it's detached. That's a problem of nullah. You're not allowed to have that fruit on Shabbos. So to over here, the child's number two, even though it is raya for a dog, but since it was in this child's stomach when the time Shabbos became, and then he only went to the bathroom afterwards, it's going to be considered a problem of nullah. So he says, I can't be vatana because the Braisa tells us, Naharos HaMoshkin Mayanos HaNovin Aren Kiragle Adam. When it comes to waters that are flowing and streams that are coming out and with springs, with the water of the springs, you're allowed to take them out like the feet of a person. What is this referring to? That normally it's usher, there's a rule of Tchum Shabbos. When it comes to the rule of Tchum Shabbos, that the lahacha is that any ownerless item on Shabbos and Yom Tov is not allowed to be moved more than 2,000 amos from the Makom Hanacha, from where it's standing on the time Shabbos begins. However, over here, the waters were already moving, considering they were considered moving the whole time, so therefore they don't have a Hanacha. They don't have a place that was sitting down, and therefore they're allowed, they would have the halacha that would move to as long as far as a person allowed himself allowed to travel, however far you're allowed to go, that water could go with you also. So what do we see from this Braisa? So we see that the Braisa is telling us that the water is coming out of the streams is not Moksa, even though this water was, let's say, out of was much further than him. Yet because the water is flowing, it's considered something that's not mukta, and it's becoming heter on Shabbos and Yom Tov also. So therefore, over here, when it comes to the child, if you're going to be, you know that he's going to use the bathroom. Every child uses the bathroom once over the course of Shabbos, but pashtus. So therefore, the fact that you knew before it was going to happen, and they're moving, it's constantly moving, then it would be similar to the case of the water. The Gemara says, "Ve'ila hech ansia." So the Ravachan says, "So how should I learn the Mishnah? How should I teach Mishnah the Mishnah if it's not referring to the case that I just mentioned?" So what is the Mishnah talking about? So he responded, "Ima al tsoa shel tarnagolim mipnei katan." Rav Chana bar Rava told him that the Mishnah is talking about someone turning over a bowl over the feces dafka of a chicken because of the child. They're talking about, we don't want the child to handle it and become dirty, and the chicken number two is fundamentally different than number two of a child, because apparently Rashi points out the chicken is considered muksa because they're not even fit for dogs and they're not allowed to be covered or moved. So the Gemara says, v'tepukle davek grash sarei. But no, why do you assume it's mukta? Even though it's mukta, we have the concept by a specific mukta over here that if you have an item which is in a grash sarei, is a kli that has the excrement in it, that you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Why is that? Because the Gemara in Beitza tells us, Rashi points out, the Gemara in Beitza tells us you're allowed to move this type of kli because it smells very bad. So v'chit tema, and it's something that you don't want there, so you're allowed to take it out. V'chit tema, grash sarei agav mana in, again, you're going to explain that maybe the case of the kli of the excrement is where it's going to be mukta is only through the case of the kli. That's only when they're allowed to move it. However, the excrement itself, you're not allowed to directly move it over here. We find that mukta, that this would be similar to moving, like tilta benetzah, to moving it indirectly, which we know is more mekel. So maybe they're only allowing you to move the grash sarei, the excrement, when it is in a kli, or it's in a garbage bag or something like that. Then you're allowed to be move it because that's only going to be considered tilta benetzah. So in that situation, it would be usher. The Ritva just asked a kasha, but what do you mean? Wouldn't it be a bustle of davar usher? What are you getting into the concept of tiltum and atzad? So apparently, the Ritva points out that over here, since there's a mukta item and a non-mukta item, the kli itself, so that is not considered necessarily a bustle. And here, the Chacham are going to give you a lenient definition as to what's considered a bustle of davar usher. Interesting that the Ritva points out that it's not really, it's even though maybe technically it should have fallen to the rules of bustle of davar usher, but here, because of the fact that it's something that's repulsive, something you don't want, we're going to be makil. The Gemara now says, though, v'ha'hu achbar dishkach be'as. So again, the Gemara is suggesting that maybe only tiltum outside, when you move it, not directly touching the actual excrement itself, that's the only case it's mutter. If you actually have to touch the excrement, it's going to be usher to move it, and that's going to explain why I wouldn't have a kasha from this. We can't explain the mission this way. The Gemara says, "Vahu achbar dishkach beisparkami derav Ashi v'amalu noktem betzusa derapukei." You can't say that because we found that amongst the spices of Rav Ashi, they found a mouse, a dead mouse. So that's pretty gross. And what did Rav Ashi tell him to do? He said, "Take it directly by its tail and remove it." We see Rav Ashi says that again. That something that's repulsive and disgusting, you're allowed to move it directly. So with the area that's offensive to people, you're allowed to move it. So then clearly, you're allowed to move it directly. So then why it should be there? So then why does the Tana allow you only to cover the chicken feces and not to remove it? Where again, as Kashi, we want to talk about chicken, we're talking about the Tzoas Tarnagolim, so why should that be any different? The Gemara answers Ba'ashba. The Mishnah is referring to the case of the chicken, the feces of the chicken, as Dafka is in a trash pile. Since people are not there, then we're not allowing you the heter. We see from here that it's not a blanket heter. It's not just a blanket heter allowed to just move the graf sharei. If you have a garbage in the middle of nowhere, no one cares about it. No, you're only allowed to move the garbage if it's in your house. If it's somewhere that's bothering you, then you're allowed to move. The Gemara says, V'katan Ba'ashba. So if that's the case, if it's in the middle of the pile where it's not in the pile later, where only the chicken coop is, whatever, little chickens are and people aren't there, then what was the child doing playing there in the first place? Wouldn't you stop them? How could the Mishnah assume that the child was playing there? The Gemara answers, no, but chatzah. The Mishnah was talking about dafka where the chicken were lying in the courtyard. In that case, the children are present, so that's why they got soiled in this they got dirty from this excrement. The Gemara says, but wait a second, that's a case, the courtyard is also considered a place that would fall into the lachas of Grav Sharei, because a chatzer is an area that's a courtyard that people obviously are moving there, walking around there, so they're going to be very bothered by the fact that you have over there, that you have the excrement. So you want to get rid of it, so then it should be the heter of Grav Sharei. So the Gemara answers, Be'ashpa Shebechatzer. So we're talking about dafka, it's in the trash, in a pile that's in the chatzer. So you're not allowed to move it because they're in a trash pile, yet you cover them because children apparently do play there. That's the chilek that the Gemara seems to be making over here. That's what comes out. From the Gemara, the way we're explaining it right now is that a child's soa is not going to be mukta. However, the chicken soa is going to be mukta. However, there's a whole different understanding of the Ran, which actually ends up being pasta. That's why I'm mentioning it, because the Ran has a whole different understanding of the Gemara that doesn't make a chilek at all between the tzoas katan or a tzoas behema, and therefore he says they're both going to be mukta. Again, they're not going to play back how against the Gemara, but that's important to know because I'm pretty sure that's how the Shulchan Aruch ends up paskining. He paskins that all, both the tzoas katan and the tzoas of the Tarnagolim are going to be mukta. Again, you're allowed to move it because of Grav Sharei. It smells pretty bad, so you're allowed to take it out, but it's still, it's just interesting, it's a point to not to note that it still has the lach category mukta. Gemara continues now, So now we're up to the fact that the Mishnah told us, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to, the scorpion, that you want to turn it over, the bowl over there, so it doesn't sting you. The Gemara says, any animal which is considered to be dangerous, is something that's mazik, it could potentially kill you, is allowed to be killed on Shabbos. The chiddush over here is obviously we're not talking about where you have a shayla pekuach nefesh, because that's obviously everything's going to be motor pekuach nefesh. We're talking about stam, just any dangerous animal is going to be allowed to be killed. That's what Gemara was assuming from the Das Rabbi Shimon Levi, that because he doesn't say anything else, he's just assuming any, even if it's not near you. Even if it's not near you, and you're just allowed to just kill it blankly, if you see it, even if it's not threatening anyone, according to B'shul Levi Mutter, again, this is not an issur d'oraisa because it's malacha she'ena tricha lagufa, because the only time you're going to be chayav the malacha of killing the snake is if, because let's say you need it for refuah, you need to have a special medication that's useful, or if, like, the skin or something like that, or that it's you want to use the skin for something else, for clothing. When you're actually using the hide of the animal, or the actual dead body, the carcass, or whatever it might be, that's when you're going to be for killing an animal on Shabbos. Again, this is the malacha of Netilas Neshama, of killing an animal, which under the principle of Shechita. So now the Gemara says, so he is allowing you to kill it, so he understands like Rabbi Shimon, malacha Shechita Gufa is going to be Derabana, and apparently he held that Derabana waived it for all mazikin, any animal that's not even in your place, you're just allowed to kill it stam. The Gemara says, Mesir of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef HaKashada, Chamishan Neharigin B'Shabbos Ve'eluhen, Zavuv Shebe'eret Mitzrayim. So now, starting the list, five are allowed to be killed. Five animals are allowed to be killed, and these are them. The first is a zvuv in land of Egypt. Apparently, that's very dangerous. The Irish of Nineveh and the wasp that's in the city of Nineveh. We know that from Torah of Yonah. But Akrosha Bechadiav, the city of Chadiav, apparently is somewhere near Iraq. The Kelav Shota Bechomakam, and a wild dog that is apparently dangerous. Apparently, that by listing these five dafka, these are the only ones that you're allowed to kill, even if they're not chasing anyone. And apparently, Rashi points out, because these five are especially apparently prone to attack people. So since you're afraid they actually might attack you, even if they're not consideringly right now actually potentially killing you, you still have the heter to kill them. So again, we're assuming, and the Beis Yosef points out that even if we list only these five, that's only because these five are known to be dangerous. If you have something that's known to be dangerous for in the modern times and wherever you're living, then that would have that would be included in this list. And Gemara says though, so it wouldn't be like Rabbi Yeshua's blanket heter though. That's the point that Gemara is mentioning. Gemara says money. Who is the Tana of this price? The Ilem Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to submit, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Malacha Shen Zugulufa Chayav Aleha. Doesn't he hold your Chayav Midar Raisa? So it can't be. So the Gemara says Elor Rabbi Shimon. It must be that the Tana is Rabbi Shimon who holds that one is not going to be Chayav from Malacha Shen Zugulufa, that a labor for its defined purpose, like we defined before, Vahane Hu Deshari Achar Nilov, and he's telling you that only in this case the Bryce is telling you that these five dangerous creatures are going to be permitted. However, any other ones, not like Rabbi Shimon Levi's heter, is going to be problematic. So how is Rabbi Shimon Levi going to line up? The more answers, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Uman Nim Alan Vahamitar Tzahi. Can you assume that this brisa is b'chol correct? Maybe this brisa Dilma Mishabash Tahi. Maybe it's a brisa that's it's a corrupted edition of the brisa, and you can't rely on the text. So Rashi points out that the apparently brisas were not as authoritative as Mishnahs, because Mishnahs, everyone had them, everyone gives us. We can always ask kashas, you always ask tiuftas on a brisa from an Amora. We always assume a brisa knew that every Amora knew all the Mishnayos. We always, every brisa would not necessarily know, because it wasn't as redacted as properly. So now there was Reb Chiya and Reb Yoshia apparently made sure the extreme accuracy of brisas, and any any braisa that they have in their collection, you can't ask a kasha from. Meaning those are correct, and we know that there's correct. However, apparently any other braisa you could assume. So this apparently wasn't from Rav Chizkiya of Rav Yosha. So for Priya and Rav Yosha, who are they were from the time of Chizkiya, learning from Chizkiya, the authoritative braisa. So apparently you can ask a kasha from these braisas. And where says Rav Yosef? I do have this braisa in my collection of braisas, so I do know it's authoritative, even though it's not from Rav Yosha. It's still considered halakhically authoritative. So I'm going to explain how it's going to work as a Shimon Levi, because I'm going to say the following. We're talking about where they're chasing after him, and this ruling of the is all Tanaim. Even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that when any animal that is dangerous is chasing you, then you have a suffix pikuach nefesh, in which case you for sure can kill it. And even Rabbi Yehuda, that is malacha deraisa, then obviously in the case of pikuach nefesh, would allow it. So therefore, this price is just ruling that these animals are chasing you, then it's going to be mutter. So what comes out of here, the Gemara, according to the Rashi's explanation, is that we have the getter of, we have over here, we have two groups according to the field where Rashi is explaining it, that you have dangerous animals is going to be, if you have the five ones that we're mentioning over here that are extremely dangerous, you're allowed to kill them even anywhere, according to Rabbi Shimon, but not according to Rabbi Yehuda. And if any of them are chasing you, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to agree that there would also be mutter to kill them. The Gemara now says, Tana tamei kama derava barhuna. Someone kills a poisonous snake or scorpion on Shabbos, yeah, it's not the best thing to do, even though you're not chayav midaraisa, because they're not attacking you, it's still not a good thing because you're killing them unnecessarily. The Gemara says, "Amar lo, ve'osen chasidim ein rocha menochaminam." And these ones are chasidim. Are they really upset with one who's killing them? A person is killing these scapegoats. He's done the right thing, because those creatures, even though they're no direct danger right now, they ultimately are going to have danger to other people. So since you are saving other people, eventually they're dangerous. There's snakes rolling around, so then obviously you should kill them. So the Gemara says a pliga de Rav Huna, and this opinion is going to disagree with Rav Huna, because Rav Huna chazia lahu garva to kakatu zibur. Rav Huna once saw a person who was killing a bee on Shabbos. Amarle, he said to him, Shleimasa lekula, have you finished killing all them? He was upset with the fact that he was killing them. Meaning, did you finish the combat of Gilsby? There are still many more bees. So we see Rav Huna does not allow killing bees just dumb, even though they're in the category of potentially dangerous creatures. So now we see over here that that'd be the shayla again when it comes to all these inyanim. If something is dangerous, then you'd have the heter potentially by a bee as a shayla. I don't have to ask the Rav. Really, about a mosquito, lechora, there's no heter, even though it's inconvenient, it's annoying if you get a mosquito bite, or definitely a fly, that's for sure. A fly is not dangerous at all. A mosquito bite also, unless you're extremely deathly allergic, then it's also not dangerous for you. So in that case, it really wouldn't necessarily have a heter to kill them at all. A bee could depend if a person is really going to, if we assume that there's a real chash, a suffix, a kana, then there might be a heter. Again, a person has to ask the maisa what the dinim would be about a bee. The Mark continues now. Tanar Abanan is down on the chashim v'akrabim. If snakes or scorpions came across one's path, hargan be'adushin adu lahargan. If you kill them, you should know that they crossed the badafka to kill them. Rashi points out, it'll be a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, and it was your megalgan zchus ayde zakai, that you had the zchus to get rid of such a thing, but apparently, again, it's dangerous to other people, and Hashem gave the zchus to kill them. Lahargan be'adushin adu lahargan asa neis v'shamayim. And if you didn't want to kill them, if you didn't have the chance to kill them and just walked by you and walked away, and then Hashem is showing you a simon that a miracle was performed to you in Shemayim and you were spared. And Rashi points out, obviously, you should be taking that you sinned in some way, deserving punishment. Hashem spared you through a miracle, and obviously, a person should do tshuva. Rabbi Elisha points out that obviously this would lead someone to do tshuva for that. And the Gemara says, the last part of the price is dafka, where allowing you to kill is only where if they're making the hissing sound, they're coming near you. That's when one should know that they were sent. Going back to the when they know that they were sent to kill you is if they're making that sound. However, if you're not doing that, then necessarily it wouldn't be the simon that you sinned and Hashem gave you the nace. And the Gemara continues. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kanana Pamachas Nafal Acha Echad Beis Midrash." So was a poisonous snake fell to Beis Midrash. Ve'amad Nevasi Achad V'Harga. There was a certain Nevasi, a person who was a Jew apparently from Nevasi, a certain area. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rebbe Pagabo Kiyotzebo." One similar to him and struck it down. So apparently that's what it was chus that he was able to kill it. Gemara said so that the dangerous one who killed it is oh sorry, the Gemara is going to ask about that. The Gemara says, "Ibailehu." They ask, "Pagabo Yotze Kiyotzebo the Shaper Avid." Is it similar to struck it down? Rebbe saying that you did the right thing by killing it. That was the first way, or the Gemara says, "Allah, maybe you didn't do the proper thing." And Rebbe was being saying this critically, that you're as bad as a snake for killing the animal. The Gemara says, "Tashma." We say, "Raya." But the Gemara says, "Because the Rabbi Abba Bereid, the Rafia Baraba, Rabbi Zera Havi Yasvi Ikla the Beir Rabbi Yanai, Nafik Milsav Imnaya, they came up between them. Bal Minei Ma Rabbi Yanai, they came up from Rebbe Mala Harga Nechashu Kavu Shabbos. What's going to be the halacha when it comes to killing snakes and scorpions on Shabbos? Amelu Tzora Ani Horek. I killed even a bee, a wasp on Shabbos. Nachash v'akav l'kolshikin. So obviously I'm going to kill a poisonous snake, so I am with Pasha Gomim. But then apparently Rav Yanai came to the base of Rabbi Yehuda, because otherwise what was the Raya? Pasha says he came for the base measures. The Gemara says, Diyalfe lefi tumah. So maybe the Gemara rejects the truth. Maybe Rav Yanai was only telling you that you're allowed to do it innocently, Rashi points out, meaning you're walking just stam, And only you may or not killed it. So that this can be mutter even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says the malacha shenet shirkel gufa is aser. In this case, it's going to be davar shenet miskaven, even though davar shenet miskaven is going to be an iser deraisa. Is not going to be aser midaraisa. Rabbi Yehuda is going to only hold that as an iser derabanan. And here, apparently, we're going to allow you to relax that in, that thing again. If you're walking on it and you're walking on the snake, you're not lav dafkan 100% going to kill it. Then Rabbi Yehuda will allow it to be mutter. The Rabban disagrees. That's Rashi. Rabban disagrees with the Pshat. What do you mean? Davarshim is covenant only an Isser Derabanan Lafir Rabbi Yehuda? No, Davarshim is covenant an Isser Derabanan Lafir Rabbi Yehuda, therefore he explains it more. Additionally, we're going to go with Rashi. There's a very important Nakuda right there. Is there, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Davarshim is covenant something not going to 100% happen. We hold like Rabbi Shimon that it's Mutter. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Isser Derabanan Lafir Rabbi Yehuda. That's Matalkis Rishonim that comes out of this Gemara. The Gemara says, Dumber Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rok Dorsa Lafir Tumo. Someone spits on the ground, he's allowed to walk on it. Because again, when they have the floors over there, which within the Mashra Gumos, that you're going to be leveling out the floors, that's an Isser Derabanan Lafir Rabbi Yehuda of Bona. So that is, should be usher. So the Gemara says, Vamar of Sheshes Nachas. So that's going to be mutter if it's not 100%. The Gemara says, Vamar of Sheshes Nachas Dorsal Lafitumo. If a snake is before you, you're allowed to walk on it, Lafitumo, innocently. The Gemara says, Vamar of Katita, Akrav Dorsal Lafitumo, also scorpion, allowed to walk in a situation. Again, we're not going to 100% kill it. The Gemara continues, Amar Ababa, Manasa, who, Rayona, Havad Maske, Be the Reish Galusa, Zuze, he gave money to the Rosh Galusa, the Reish Galusa, the head of the exile. So they brought him to the palace and they were bothering him to pay the money because he had connections to the government. They were never paying him, so they wanted to force him to pay the money. So they took this. They saw the spit lying on the ground before the Shabbos. He said, cover it over with a kli because it was disgusting and he thought it was mukta. So ended up saying to them, you don't need to do that. He said, if you're spitting on the ground, you're allowed to walk in it as long as not 100% going to happen. That's the fituma. That's going to be mutter. You don't have to come to the issue of putting the kli on it. So the Gemara says, "Amar the Tzurim Rabbanan Avi Shavkua." Yeah, he said, "Tzurim Rabbanan, you should leave him. Don't bother him." So now the Gemara is interesting though. He did that Shabbos. He took them because if this whole thing sounds like it happened on Shabbos, and maybe that's what happened. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbanan Ben Yochanan, put Moshabes Rabbi Mutar Tantam Shabbos." When it comes to Rabbi's candelabras, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Over here, we're talking about the candelabras. I mean, one piece actually points out because if there's the ones that have multiple pieces of them of potentially taking it for the issue of a hiduk of doing the bona binyan, that might be mukta. Okay, but I'm not going to do that. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Zira, we'll pick up from Rabbi Zira, Mitzvah Shem tomorrow."